As we continue our studies in 1 Kings 18, in verses 3 through 6, we're introduced to a man named Obadiah. We find that he is a man of great contradictions. On the one hand, the Bible tells us that he feared the Lord greatly. On the other hand, we find him challenging God and the prophet Elijah. He is a man who cannot be totally exonerated, nor can he be totally condemned. He is a mixture of good and evil. He's a glaring example of a selfish, self-centered believer. He can teach us much about how we should not be. Sometimes a negative example can be a very powerful tool. Obadiah is not a person that we want to follow. He's selfish and he is self-centered. We see in verse 3 of 1 Kings 18, and Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. While we have already seen that Elijah is sold out to the Lord God, Obadiah is sold out to Ahab. This verse tells us that he's governor, that he's in charge of Ahab's house. This means that Obadiah was the man who ran things around the palace. So right there in one verse, you have a governor of Ahab, and yet at the same time, one that feared the Lord greatly. Great contradiction. Some historians believe that he was actually second in command to Ahab. Obadiah occupied a high position in the court of Israel when he is met by the prophet Elijah. Notice what Elijah says to Obadiah in verse 8. Look at 1 Kings 18, verse 8. And he answered him, "It is I. Go, tell your master." Elijah was here. "Go, tell your master. Go, tell your Lord." While Elijah is clearly a servant of God, Obadiah is identified as a servant of Ahab. "Go tell your master. Go tell your Lord. Go tell Ahab." Remember, Obadiah is a believer living a life of compromise. He is one who knows the Lord, but because of power, prosperity, position, he's chosen to keep his faith a secret. He's sold out for personal gain. How many today, this could be said of them, they're sold out for personal gain because of power, because of prosperity, because of position. We're double-minded, our heart is divided. "Go tell your Lord," Elijah tells Obadiah. Will that be said of us when the man of God speaks? Is he saying, "Go tell your Lord, go tell your master, go worship your Lord, go worship your master"? Choose, who will it be? Friend, if all the pretense, brother, sister, if all the pretense and all the window dressing were taken away today, honestly, the God's honest truth, can you say that Jesus Christ is your Lord? Maybe you wonder how you can know such a thing. The answer lies in the life that you live. Your actions betray your beliefs. Whose will is more important to you? Now, brother, sister, sit down and ask the Lord to reveal to you if these things be true or not. Ask him by the power of the Holy Spirit, are these things true of you? Or do you want to keep on living a deceived, delusional believer? Whose will is more important to you? God's or yours? is as soon as God's will revealed to you an excuse. But you don't understand whose will is most important to you, God's or yours. Is it more important to you that you please God or please yourself? Now answer these truthfully. Stop deceiving yourself. Can you honestly say that you consistently place God before everything and everyone in your life? Is that true? Can you make a decision? When you make a decision, do you consult with God in prayer? Do you search His word for an answer? Or do you base your decisions on what you want and what you feel? Ouch. What is your first consideration in any matter, your desires? Or the clear word of God teach? What is your first consideration in any matter? Where are your priorities? Where are your priorities? Do sports come before church? Does TV come before prayer and Bible study? Does your desire for rest and recreation outweigh your desire for worship? Who gets the first of your money? Ouch. Who gets the best of your time and talent? Ouch. Who is the main one you want to please? Ouch. Who really occupies the throne of your life? The throne of your life. Is it God or is it you? Is it work or is it God? Is it God or is it your family? Is it God or things? So the question really is, who is your Lord today? Will you keep on deceiving yourself? Will you keep living a life of being deceived? These are hard questions. And every one of us, to some degree, answer it, these questions in the negative. But the question is it your will? Is it your desire? Is it your pursuit in life to follow the Lord? Is that truly your will? When you get up on Monday morning, is that your will and your desire? Is that what you want, to follow the Lord? And those are just some areas that I touched on. They're hard questions. But if they're answered honestly, they'll reveal who's your Lord. They will reveal who is your Lord. Many of us, we won't even sit down and answer those questions faithfully because we know what the answer is. And we don't want to be convicted. We don't want to be convicted of our sin. Obadiah. We see in verse 4 of 1 Kings 18. For so it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. Well, Obadiah holds a high position in the court of Ahab. He's in a position that requires truth and trust and faithfulness. But Obadiah has a secret. Actually, he has two secrets that if Ahab knew would have meant death for Obadiah. Let's find out what those secrets are. Obadiah is living a dual life, a dual existence. We see that the Bible tells us that Obadiah is a closet believer. Now, he believes in God and he fears Jehovah, but he isn't about to tell anyone. He's a secret service believer. He's not going to tell anyone. After all, Jezebel is actively engaged in eliminating the prophets of God. If I come out of the closet, they may kill me. If he were to stand up and declare his faith in God, he would be killed on the spot. While he did not let his true faith become known, it also appears to Obadiah that he did not bow to Baal either. He got this duality going. We see in verse 4 his deeds. Great deeds tells us that when Jezebel began to exterminate the prophets of God, Obadiah took 100 of them and hid them in caves. This was a deed that required great courage, effort, and expense on the part of Obadiah. For this he is to be commended. If Jezebel had gotten wind of what he had done, he would have surely been killed. So it is clear that Obadiah has a few positive marks on his record, no doubt about it. However, it is sad when people serve God in secret. It is a shame when those who know the Lord sell out to the world, to the flesh, to the devil. How many today are guilty of this very same thing? Because of a desire to fit in with the crowd, because of a job or to keep a friend, we've chosen to keep silent about what we really believe. What we really believe in regard to people, places, and things. Far too often, God's children join the secret service. They conceal their faith in God to save face with men. They're afraid of men, women, bosses, children, relatives, neighbors. They are afraid. And this is a tragedy. When we consider what Jesus suffered to redeem our souls from hell, what Christ suffered, how could we be ashamed to be identified with him? Notice Mark 8:38, whoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. You can't make that verse mean anything else. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Oh, brother, oh, sister, that Christ would be ashamed. When I think of Obadiah, one word comes to my mind, compromise. Is that what you are known by? Compromise. Obadiah has chosen to live his life somewhat between God and the world. It's known as straddling the fence, trying to walk on both sides. You can't do it. Obadiah has chosen a position that forces him to conceal who he really is. Realize this, brother and sister. Yes, Obadiah did a great thing in hiding the prophets. But if he didn't pursue the power and the position, he would have been one of the prophets that needed to be hid himself. But because of compromise, because of a lust for power, a lust for position, a lust for prestige. Yes, it's true. He did hide the prophets. But if he would have came out of the closet as he was really known as a prophet, as a man of God, then he would have been one of the 100 prophets that needed to be hid. He's chosen to hide his faith in God, to protect his life, to satisfy his greed, to exalt his own name, to secure his position. He's done what millions are doing today. Are you doing that? That is, many are willfully hiding their faith in God and their biblical convictions to please a world that does not even know God. You compromise your convictions, you compromise what you believe to please your family members, to please your friends, to please your co-workers, to please everybody, and especially yourself. Because you don't want to lose friendships. You don't want to lose the love of the world. You don't want to lose power. You don't want to lose prestige. You don't want to stand out from the crowd and be labeled different. Even when Christians aren't guilty of committing sins with their bodies, they sin by not abstaining from the very appearance of evil. From not abstaining from the very appearance of evil. This sin is as wicked as any that can be committed by any believer. Give this world no doubt about your faith in God. You take a stand. Even as John the Baptist took a stand and they lopped his head off. They beheaded him for his stand. He called sin, sin. May God help us to realize that we are different. 2 Corinthians tells us we're peculiar. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, Titus 2:14, 1 Peter 2:9. Let's look over there a second. 1 Peter 2. Look at verse 9-11. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, so that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a special people. See? That's indicative. That is what you are already. And it's imperative now. So that, for this reason, you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God. Brother and sister, you're a new creation. You're not what you used to be. Now you're the people of God. Verse 11. Notice, here's an apostle, Peter. Beloved. See, notice he's calling you beloved. He's not calling you an atheist. He's not calling you an unbeliever. He's calling you beloved. I beg you. Here's an apostle, he's begging you. I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims that you abstain fleshly lust which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. When people see your life and what you stand for, do they glorify God? Let us never be guilty of concealing our faith in God. Let us boldly stand beneath the blood-stained banner of our Lord Jesus Christ and boldly declare our faith in and allegiance to him without fear, without compromise. Not everyone will appreciate you if you take a stand for God, but God will honor your obedience to him. After all, who would you rather please? A few people that you spend a few years with, or God with whom you will spend eternity? Remember that Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This thought was echoed by the Apostle John. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that do the will of God abides forever. Abides forever. Wow. Look at verses 5 and 6 in 1 Kings 18. And Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land, to all the springs of water, and to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so that we will not have to kill any livestock. So they divided the land between them to explore it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. In these two verses, we find Obadiah actively involved in service to Ahab. Basically, Obadiah is guilty of two great errors. First, he is employed by the wrong people. He's in a job that requires him to compromise his beliefs so that he can keep his job. Are you in that position, brother or sister? Secondly, he is engaged in the wrong activity. Notice that Ahab and Obadiah seem to have no concern for the starving people on the land. They're out looking for grass to feed some horses. That shows a lack of compassion. Besides that, Obadiah is helping Ahab to do something that's forbidden by the law of God. The kings of Israel were not allowed to keep horses, Deuteronomy 17:16. Of course, Obadiah's actions stand in marked contrast to those of Elijah. You see, Obadiah was busy looking for grass to save a bunch of horses, and Elijah's looking for God to save a nation, to save a nation, to save a people. What are you looking for today, brother? What are you looking for today, sister? The whole point of these verses is this. God commands his people is crystal clear. He demands that we separate from the world and from all things that are evil. Surely Obadiah thought he was doing the right thing. You probably think you're doing the right thing. I would imagine Obadiah thought he could save God in that position. However, what ended up happening is that Obadiah found himself pulled into a life of compromise and powerlessness before God. Do you feel that there's powerlessness about your life? That's always the case with this compromise. You might think you can lift the world around you by being involved in it, but the opposite is true. You will not improve the world, but the world will eventually drag you down to its level. Remember the lesson of Lot. He did not improve Sodom. He was sucked into the web and he lost his family as a result. I'm sure he was very missional. I'm sure he wanted to change all of those around him. Obadiah found himself in a position where he was in direct disobedience to the Lord. He was guilty of helping sinners commit sin against God. And he was reduced to the place of a hireling. He may have known God, but he knew nothing of the power of God. Do you know of the power of God? Could it be that you do not experience the power of God in your life, the blessings of God in your life, because you, brother, you, sister, are a believer of compromise. A believer of compromise. Would the Lord say to you today, come out from amongst them. Come out from among them. Come out from that thing that you keep compromising with. Come out from amongst them.